episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Rick. B-Toll number 21. Catching up to the Rick and Roller show. Rick and Roller on the corner. 22 down. Rick B-Toll coming up behind at 21. Coming up behind at 21. Not quite catching up, though. So Rick and Roller did 22 shows. Last one on Saturday night. And this is B-Toll 21. Getting there. Maybe I could do two in a row. Could do that just to catch up, but I probably won't. Tuesday, the 11th. The 11th of March. Is that 11-3? I do believe it is. There's a there. Now, what happened 5 years ago on this day? 5 years ago on that day. Anybody? Bueller? No, not Bueller. It's me answering this. It was... COVID was announced, the pandemic, the dem of panic, or the pandemic, one of those two. Things went really bad after that, just quietly. I just have to say that, anyone out there who can remember those days. And I'm going to keep repeating and reminding people of those days every now and then. I'll be told. It's actually really interesting to just to talk about what people went through. What people are still going through, I have to say that. There's still people out there. There's still wards over in America, I've seen, that won't, allegedly wouldn't, or was it Canada? A little girl went in there, she hadn't been vaccinated, and they wouldn't do a heart operation on her. Would that be right? It wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me, because I've seen them, the doctor's surgeries over here, given any opportunity to stick a sign on the door that masks must be worn, put up masks must be worn signs. What for, I ask? Drinking a lovely bit of beer. Anyway, yeah, so this is Rick on the Be Told Show, episode 21, on the 11th of the 3rd. What a great anniversary to do a show. We should have, why didn't Fakeologist and all these other people do an anniversary show for COVID today? Asking for a friend, because this is bigger than 9/11. Whoa, way bigger than 9/11. 9/11 is just one of the great ones that everyone has a bit of, remembers. It didn't affect us over here whatsoever. Again, I'll say it again. We were in the pub laughing, making a joke about the whole thing, particularly the Pentagon. No one felt sorry for anyone over there because of Hollywood and movies like Platoon. I'll repeat myself here. They have made people, the average person over here, despise America's military. And it's going to get worse. I'm telling you now. And I think I'll repeat myself a bit. But what's his name from that great show, Visigoth show? He could smell this. He's a smart guy, Keith. He could smell it 20 years ago, what was going down. All of the bad press that was getting said about the new Rome, which is America, with their giant eagle on there, and the same, centurions, the Marines and the whatever, going in there and destabilizing and taking over and invading places, which is what we're doing 100% since 19, no, go back to when they invaded the Philippines. Well, they didn't have to invade, they just told the Spanish. His, was it $10 million? You're listening to Be Told, Told, Told.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Told on the anniversary, 5-year anniversary of the single greatest global operation as ever that we know of ever happened to the planet. We went in a lockstep, India, Spain, Italy, England, America, all those countries that Mick Jagger and David Bowie sang about on that song. When they came out on Live Aid and sang that song, Dancing in the Street, or Dancing in the Street if you're from different parts of Australia. Dancing if you're from South Australia. Interesting that the South Australians and New Zealanders, they would say dancing. Why is this so? Why is this so? On the on this interesting day, blah, blah, blah. I mean, really and truly, I mean... Well, I didn't really notice it as getting as really bad as it did till for months afterwards, but my goodness, it did get bad. And by about in 2 weeks' time, it would have been where I started having to do inductions, online inductions. And I've spoken about this before. I spoke about this with Martha a couple of weeks ago. Perfectly ready, seamless websites all set up. Oh, sorry, someone's ringing me. I have to actually mute and I'll have to ring. I'll be back. Sorry, I'm professional. I didn't press the button that says blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'll be back. I'm going to mute. And I'm back again. I'd set to ring my lovely, beautiful daughter who cares for me. But she's actually, they're going to come and help me do some work tomorrow because my great friend and the guy that works for me in Sydney, the Winnies, has got diagnosed with pneumonia. And I reckon he would have been dead in 2 days if they hadn't put him in hospital. But he was coughing and spluttering for 6 months, I reckon. And I said, change your fucking doctor. That's how I describe it. That's why I talk to people. And he goes, no, he's had 3 vaccines and boosters and, you know, just trust the medical system, swallows the pills. And I said, this is getting worse and worse and worse. I told him, but what can you do? I was only down there. I'm only down to in Sydney at his place 1 day a week now, so I don't really get a chance to, you know, speak to him often. As he's often out or asleep when I get into the place and I'm gone the next morning. But, yeah, so pneumonia, it's a real thing to be told. I had it, and it fucked me up big time when I was 31, 32, getting close to 33. Speaking of 33, we'll be talking about one of the great 33-year-olds out there, the Tim McVeigh, just releasing a movie about Tim McVeigh again. Now, be warned, when they release movies about big psychological operations like the Oklahoma bombing, there's be wary. They're doing that for a reason, to remind people about white supremacist extremists. That's what they're doing. And I'm telling you right now, this is no exclusive, because I've heard it from back in the day when I was, you know, listening to loads of different shows in the 10, 12 years ago. Tim McVeigh is not dead. Do not think Tim McVeigh, the supposed ringleader of the, well, he wasn't even the ringleader, the bomber of Oklahoma bombing, is dead. Even the guys in his jail said, he was laughing and joking, said, I'm not going to die. They're coming to get me, or we're going off, I'll be rescued. Even the people that were in the funeral thing that watched it said it was really shoddy how they did his execution. And he kind of seemed to be not dead when they wheeled him through the room. These are the witnesses that were there. They said that he didn't look like he was dead. He told all his jailmates, I'm not dying. I'm going off to bigger and better things. And he'd be working for psychological operations. They may not be going around killing people, but they definitely need guys like him who are very – he was actually a really good soldier. Don't let that all the media start saying he was mad and he was actually a really good soldier. So he'll be being used out there doing black ops, which could be all sorts of different things. It could be organising the role plays, you know, and the coordination for psychological operations, different shootings, police operations. Special forces know how to operate with police. They work in there with police. So guys like him, you know, just renamed, given a new name. Guess what date that they executed him on? Now, I'm just going to tell you this. If this isn't a wake-up call, it was June the 11th. That's 6/11 to you out there. Switch it, turn it upside down, there's a 9/11 as well, 11/9. These are one of those magic dates. So I'll just say this. Tim McVeigh is not dead. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt when he went through that supposed execution in Texas back in the day, or wherever it was. Guaranteed. I would be putting money on this one, that guy's still out there. Could be listening to the show. Tim, if you're out there, whatever your new name is, Ken, Brian, whatever, send us a link, or send us a donation for pointing out that you're still alive, you're still probably not even, just going around doing things. Government need black ops, and black ops are just, it could be anything. It could be just warning people, telling people to fuck off, pretend, you know, blowing up completely random spots to fake a terrorist attack. They need demolitions experts. They need people that know how to do these things and that are contrived enough to do whatever they're told. Reminds me of that fantastic movie, Extreme Prejudice. Highly recommend that movie. I loved it. With Nick Nolte playing the Texas Ranger, takes on that black ops group. They all supposedly died in Vietnam, but they're actually going around doing things up to no good. Awesome movie. And it also stars, by coincidence, the guy who is a direct lineage to the shooter alleged, in quotation marks, of Abraham Lincoln. His great is it grandson or whatever? Powers Booth is in there, in that movie. Plays a great character too. Awesome movie. Those were the days we movies for, you know, with guys with testicles and testosterone that you can actually believe are tough. Not anymore. You got Brad Pitt's, Tom Cruise's. Fuck them. None of those guys could actually back you up in a bar fight or in any situation. These guys would go to water, guaranteed. Cruise would not only, even if he wanted to try and do something, he couldn't do it because he's only about 5'2". Even less, possibly. He could actually be 4 foot tall with wearing stilts. There you go. There's a there. So Tim McVeigh movie, be warned. That movie isn't coming out just to remind you for nostalgia's sake. This is coming out to actually reiterate what dangerous white people do. White people do. I'm going to say that again. What dangerous white conspiracy theorists do when they get rolled up. This is the alleged story of the controlled demolition of Oklahoma bombing. I do believe shape charges. Did they use shape charges? I'm not sure, but no one was in that building. Nobody was in that building. I'll put money on it. No kindergarten full of children, et cetera, et cetera. That reminded me, actually, I was thinking about today about the Oklahoma bombing. It reminded me of this completely unrelated, but it's kind of related story. When I was doing security in the 90s, when I couldn't be bothered working in the construction industry or in demolition, and you get paid to literally go to a spot and just stand there or sit there or whatever. And I was at the film, and obviously we know about the film industry and Matrix and Dark City and all that, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes I did work for another company. Did a lot of government stuff as well. And there was something as simple as a roller shutter going down on a government building or a building that might have housed something meant that the building was unsecure. So they would send a static guard. Just off, you know, you get a phone call, so can you go to this job? The roller shutter couldn't be operated, so they couldn't close it. And just, you just had to stand there, or even, like, to be honest, go to sleep. That's what, you know, the average guy did. Except for gung-ho military types. You'd get these types that I worked with that actually really did think they were, you know, they were trying to apply for special forces and just fucking spastics. And I can tell you a whole lot of stories about these type of guys. They take everything way too seriously. And, look, if it had been a serious job, I would have as well. But anyway, I got sent to this job. And about two levels up, there was actually a government, it was something to do with a casino, I believe. They had a childcare centre in there for the workers of this nearby casino. So it was quite high profile. Maybe they might have been the executives of the casino, I don't know. Anyway, I got there at about 11 o'clock at night, tried to find somewhere to go to sleep because I didn't have a car. So I just jumped in a taxi and went there. And I found that in the garbage room, all these cardboard boxes everywhere. So I made myself a kind of what I could call a bed and tried to get myself comfortable. And this is before smartphones. You couldn't sit there scrolling through and reading the net and stuff like that. This is, you know, 95, thereabouts. Anyway, the next day, one of the girls that was teaching at the preschool, she came and she seen me there looking, you know, I obviously made myself look like I was kind of on duty, pretending to be on duty. And she said, oh, look, how about you come up and I'll make you some Milo and a cup of tea and some toast. And so I went there all clad in black, looking like, you know, very military uniform we had to wear from this particular company. And they took me to the room and there was about five little kids in there, probably 4 or 8 years of age, 5 years of age. And she said, go and sit over there. And they gave me one of their little chairs that they had to sit on. And these little kids were just looking at me going, oh, my God, it doesn't end when we get older. They still send us into this little prison. Because they actually thought I was in there with them as part, because the teacher went and brought me a cup of tea and some toast. And I sat there and ate it with these little five-year-olds. And they just kept looking at me going, oh, you know, they were so concerned that their life is going to stay like this forever. Always going to be sent off to the preschool. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was funny back in the day. I'll just say that. You might not, but I did. Susie, do you think it's funny? I think you do. It was funny. The way they looked at me was just like, oh, no, you know, we thought that we'd grow up and we'll go have our own lives, but they send you here, even like big people get sent here. That's the way they looked at me. Be told. So this Tim McVeigh film, I'll look it up, actually, while I'm here. You know, I hate saying that I'm using Wikipedia, but I'm going to. Where are we? Conspiracy theories. So, okay, McVeigh, the movie. 2024 American films. It's all done, dusted. Co-written and directed by Mike Ott. That's a suspicious name, I'm telling you now. Mike Ott. Have you ever heard of anyone's surname Ott? It has OTO all over it to me, be told, and the TT Twin Tails. By coincidence, and 15 is 6. Do you remember that? Oh, sorry, I was 15, which is 6. 6 TT. It is based on the. Hang on, I have to look it up properly. Visit site. Here we go. A 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, come on. McVeigh is a 2024 American film co-written and directed by Mike Ott. I'm telling you now, suspicious. It is based on a true story of domestic terrorist Tim McVeigh, perpetrator of the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. McVeigh, this is about the same time I was sitting there dressed in black in a little five-year-old's chair drinking Milo and having a cup of... some toast. It's played by Alfie Allen. The film premiered at the Tribeca Festival. That's something to do with that fucking other weak link of acting now, Robert De Niro. Yeah, I think he owns and ran the Tribeca Festival. On June the 7th, 2024, so that's just a day after 6th of June, 2024, it will be released on digital platforms in the theatres on March 21st. Mike Ott, written by Alex Glaukos, Greek, produced by Miles Alva, Alfie Allen, Brett Gilman, Ashley Benson. Never heard of any of these people. So there, so they're doing, I'm telling you, this is coming out and it's a big, big, big story. And now, Tim McVeigh in actual life was a good soldier. And a, you know, like according, it was according to his sister and his mother. I think it was his mother was still alive at that stage. They made him out to be some crazy guy, but I don't think so. And I think by all actual reports of his service, he was actually not bad. You know, again, he was very talented in various things. Tim, send some money. Send some money. I'm joking. They built the Alfred P. Murrah building, bombed it. The rescue worker was killed after the bombing when debris struck his head. Don't know about that one. But yeah, died June the 11th, 2001. I mean, that's 6-11, 2001. I mean, can you not see? Age 33. Is anyone picking up any strange numbers and codes? The guy is not dead. He is still very much alive out there. I'll put money on it. Guaranteed. Occupation, soldier, security guard. Motive, anti-government sentiment. Now, there you go. This is where they're going here. Mind control, mind wars, mind this, mind that. Anti-government. Who do you know that might be anti-government? Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone? Bueller. Anyone that was part of the COVID thing that didn't want to get vaccinated. You could be deemed anti-government. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Convictions, first-degree murder of a federal employee, 18. You're listening to...
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The man's got on the 11th of the 3rd, 2020, and that's the way we say it here. 11th is the day, the 3rd is the month, and 2025 is the year. Not this, not, you know, 3-11. That's completely confusing to a English, New Zealander, Australian type. Now, where am I going here? And I spotted something a bit suspicious here. So they had to say the date when the bomb went off. It was 9:02, which is, what's that date to you? Was that up to 11? Yes, it does. How many injured, how many weapon, ammonium nitrate and nitromethane, truck bomb. Now, you saw the bomb. There's no way a normal explosive like that, what it would normally do would blow up a kind of in a wave upwards and outwards. It would not destroy, have a building collapse. That's total bullshit. They use controlled demolition on that psychological operation. Big time. Controlled demolition. And all the witness, you know, there were people, so there was good shows out there, and I'll cite it again, Offerman's show. He actually, despite his radical socialist agenda, he actually had some fantastic guests on the old shows. He'll have to be releasing some more stuff on this, guaranteed. But just the fact he executed lethal injection June 11th, 2001, I'm telling you now, the guy's still alive and he's still working for the government. They blamed the Waco siege on their radicalization too. There's a there with that one. There's a lot of, so many other stories that could be said about this, though, that, again, go back on Ed Opperman report and have a listen to it. Hopefully he'll be releasing all the stuff he's done on this thing because there's so much conspiracy in it. That's why I'd have to use the word conspiracy. He doesn't look the sharpest tool in the shed, but apparently he was a great soldier, you know, and he was very well regarded, despite the route they tried to say he was just this crazy guy. But no, I don't believe it. I do not believe it. Now, the other thing I've been talking about, and I'll talk about tonight, is Jungian archetypes, and Jung, J-U-N-G. Incredibly important, and I've said it before, and I will repeat myself. That's what they're using. They know the power of groupthink and the collective mind, and they know there is powers out there. The people, these deep psychoanalysts out there, that have got their, you know, studied under Jung and Freud. Fraud. I could call him Fraud, but he knew his stuff. And there's no doubt about these incredible, powerful subconscious things. And no matter what, I hate repeating myself, but all the good shows do. When you are out driving, you are in a soup of ancient archetypes and power logos. You're getting them when you're – they know when you drive, you're not driving in the now, you're driving in the subconscious, in beta mode. And so you're just observing, and these things are going in your head, and these names and these images, the Toyota, the Pleiades, the Subaru, the everything. It's going in your head. You actually – the normies out there, say, they, whether they like it or not, they're actually in a soup of high power sigils and logos. And this is keeping them in the control zone. And then they're using FM radio, the frequency modulation, to keep you in there using psychic driving of songs and titles, and particularly songs that you'll notice the 50s was full of them. This is before FM. But there'll be, you know, all the stuff they wanted you to know all came out of the same group of writers. All the music was written and played by the same group of guys, the Wrecking Crew, and there's a few others. So it was very controlled. And so most of the songs that you were listening to, it could have been like songs like Spinning, 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 or Red Rubber Ball, just psychic driving, keeping you hypnotized, basically, in a subconscious. They knew what they were doing. Obviously, this technique was probably used many, 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 many years from Greece to because a lot of Jung stuff was Plato. Now, shall I read a little bit of Jungian archetypes? I will. Am I going to get this off Wikipedia? Yes, I am. I say, don't listen to a show that isn't getting their own information. I actually have read all this stuff before, but off the top of my head, isn't maybe so good sometimes. Sometimes I could sit and write it all, but let's just have a look. Jungian archetypes. How do I find it? Let's have a look here. Rick's deep esoteric. Here we go. Rick's esoteric, heavy esoterica, Jungian archetypes. This is on Discord that I've posted stuff like this. Jungian archetypes. Jungian archetypes are a concept from psychology that refers to a universal inherited idea, a pattern of thought, or an image that is present in the collective unconscious. That's the word I was trying to say, the collective unconscious, that they know exists. Of all human beings, the psychic counterpart of instinct, archetypes are thought to be the basis of many of the common themes and symbols that appear in stories, myths, and dreams across different cultures and societies. Some examples of archetypes include those of the mother, the child, the trickster, it's the joker for you people out there, and the flood, amongst others. The concept of collective unconscious was first proposed by Carl Jung, a Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst. According to Jung, archetypes are innate patterns of thought and behavior that strive for realization within an individual's environment. The process of actualization influences the degree of individuation. Do I know that word? Or the development of the individual's unique identity. For instance, the presence of a maternal figure who closely matches the child's idealized concept of a mother can invoke innate expectations and activate mother archetype in the child's mind. This archetype is incorporated in the child's personal unconscious as a mother complex, which is unfunctional use of personal unconscious. Now, examples. This is probably more interesting. Some examples of archetypes. The Norse trickster, Loki. Now, where did you get Loki from nonstop as a parent that had to take his children to Marvel movies? Yes, Loki was the brother of Thor. Wore the same, by coincidence, everywhere you fucking look, I kid you not, everyone has to have these horns on their head like deer antlers. You see it with nearly every movie, even so. I noticed it in this odd movie with starred the guy who plays Harry Potter. He was playing in a random role, and there he is with goat antlers on his head. Everywhere you look, you got Disney. Every opportunity they can get, there's someone with goat antlers or horns on their head. The horns on their head is straight out giving this kind of Luciferian image to me. It's that's what it is. And even our bears over here, Tuis, etc., all have the horns or the antlers, which mean an awful lot. By coincidence, a very funny sketch I was talking about the other day of the architect sketch on Monty Python, and it had a really funny bit. It said, how do you recognise a mason? And there's Graham Chapman, who more than likely was one, or not sure. But he was dressed in goat's antlers, deer antlers. He had a huge sash saying, I'm a mason, and a big arrow pointing to his head, and he was standing on basically with a pair of underpants on the side of the road waiting for a bus. Very funny, and that's how you recognise the mason. Very obvious, though, to us, once you wake up, they're everywhere. You can see their logos. You can see the imagery. And so Python actually really did play it up and did a really good job of doing it. Jung identified various archetypes in the human psychology. These include events such as, I've read that. The chief among them being, according to Jung, the shadow, the wise old man, and the child and the mother, and her counterpart, the maiden. And lastly, the anima in man, the animus in woman. Alternatively, he would speak of the emergence of certain definite archetypes, the shadow, the animal, the wise old man. You saw that too with Led Zeppelin's album, Stairway to Heaven. You had the wise old man holding the lantern, a big there with that one. Plus they had Zoso and all these logos underneath it. I heard an amazing one. I have to shout out to the William Ramsey show. He had this fucking incredible guest the other day. He said two really good guests. One's that chick who's, I think she had some kind of medical issues when she was young, but she's beaten them all, and she's like, her stuff is faultless, and she's only been in it for 4 years or 5 years. And she just has absorbed so much research into this kind of stuff. Anyway, they were talking about this new thing that's out there online that you can actually go online and find someone that will find a personal demon that will actually help you get money and everything. And that you can go online, which no surprise, though Jay always says, the whole online thing is 100% demonology. They even call them demons, et cetera, on their platform, if you're doing programming. Daemons. Same thing. So there's all these businesses out there now online that are offering you the opportunity to get in contact with a money demon, and they will do whatever they say, and money will go into your bank account. I'm telling you, this will work amongst the new Harry Potter group out there, the new kids on the block who have been swallowed the Harry Potter stuff. And there are, I would have to say, millions out there. Not one or two, millions. Millions, he says, getting something out of the fridge. We're trying to, making some rattling noises, but that's what happens live on air on the Be Told show, if he wants to have a drink. So this William Ramsey show, I'll tell you which it is. It's one of the last, and it's actually 6:11 as I speak. There's a there. Isn't that a synchronicity? I think it is. I'll go into podcasts and tell you the name of this fantastic show. I had to listen to it twice. Catches in the Royal Austin Picard of the Underclass podcast. Could it be that one? I think it was Operation Mockingbird Part 4 with Austin Picard of the Underclass podcast. Either way, I'll find out which it is, and I'll share it onto the live stream show notes on the beat. Truthmeets.com live stream notes. The other one I listened to was Courtney Turner. Do you want to play a game and get played? The game be Utopia Part 2. I just started playing it by mistake. Could I do that on this show? I don't think I can. But yeah, Courtney is fucking absolutely fantastic. I have to say, I'll shout out people where when I say they're good. Courtney, for a person that's only been into this for limited amounts of time, she is absolutely, some people just absorb it all and they can re-spout it back without having to Google stuff. She's doing it. I guarantee she was talking off the top of her head too. Guaranteed. Really impressive shows that Ramsey's doing. Even they have to put up with him sometimes. He can be, how's the word for it? He's a bit, I don't know. But anyway, I don't care. He's doing some fucking amazing shows. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. So I think it's the one after that Courtney show. Do yourself a favor and have a listen. I will share them on the live stream show notes though later. Live stream show notes. Yeah, so I just mentioned this before, but I'll say it. Now, I just spoke to my father earlier. I hadn't spoken for ages, and I said to him, I rang him up and I was telling, kind of mockingly telling him off. I said, Dad, I said, I'm in my 60s, which I've just turned 60. I'm at home alone. I've got no children. I said, why aren't you ringing to check on me? I could have had a fall. I could be in the corner weeping. I have no food. And he's laughing his head off. He's 23 years older than me. So he's 83 or 84. And he suggested he was going to send me one of those beeping buttons I can press. I was only joking, but I'm going to milk age for everything I can get. Let me just tell you now. I'll be telling my children, if they don't come and ring me up, I'll ring them up and I'll take selfies lying in the garden with my legs up in the air, or, you know, and I'll say, the cat looks like she's come to eat me. I've had a fall. Why haven't you rang me? I'm going to do it. Be told, guaranteed. I've got to keep a sense of humor out there. Even though, to be honest, this is a real thing for old people. I'm talking about old people, 20 years older than me, that, you know, the kids grow up, the grandchildren don't bother with them anymore, and they do sit at home and they do have falls. This is actually a real thing. Even if I had a fall, I'd be able to probably crawl up and down and climb in windows and things like that because I'm still pretty strong. But, you know, this is a fact that, you know, 20 years' time, if no one comes to visit me, I could have had a fall. It does happen, though. That's why you've got to look after your old people. Old people, I mean, really, really old people. You out there, if you've got elderly relatives, they should be, you should make a phone call every day, as far as I'm concerned. And telling it, I'm telling it now. And speaking of, I've written a mad woman. I was at the gym tonight and I spotted a genuine class A mad woman there. She had two younger children with her and she was training like a absolute beast, doing really good exercise. She could be 20s or maybe 30s, but she was muscly. And she kept running down screaming at her kids. And I was thinking, why didn't you come here while they were at school so you don't have to drag them? And there they were being babysat by an iPad and an iPhone. This is just what parents are doing to people. And I've done it before, but you don't take your kids to the gym. That's what I say. There's a couple of mad women that have just joined up recently. One turns up, she's proper mad woman. She's actually got a diagnosis and she's got her therapy dog that comes with her. This dog molts everywhere. It sits there looking more disturbed because of all the noise in a normal gym. Why she's bringing this dog, she's torturing that dog, but she, in her head, she thinks it's there to help her. The dog is not there. The dog looks really nervous, and it probably should be because all this heavy weights everywhere. And she brings it there, and she's got this, it's got a blanket over its back, and it's got therapy dog or, you know, there's a name for it. I can't remember. Absolutely ridiculous. The only person that should have a therapy dog, it should be the dog. It should have another dog with it, and it should be roaming around someone's, you know, being taken for a walk to the beach. But no, this woman thinks it helps her to bring this dog and torture it and bring it to the gym. Completely mad. Genuine ginger hair too. I have to say that. Not the dog, her. Is there a there there? Yes, there is. And I said, maybe this other woman might have dyed her hair from ginger to black. There could be a there there. Anyway, back to whatever we were talking about before. Jungian archetypes. I have to go back to find where I was talking about them. There we go. Press button. Jungian archetypes. Now, this is really important stuff. Really important stuff. And I said examples. The father represents the patriarchal qualities of the persona. Some of these qualities may include strength, anger, protector, provider, and wisdom. The father archetypes can be seen in many forms, such as kings, chiefs, and the biological father. The self designates the whole range of psychic phenomena in people. It expresses the unity of the person as a whole. This is boring, but the shadow, here we go, this is a better one. The shadow is a representation of the personal unconscious as a whole and usually embodies the compensating values of those held by the unconscious personality. It is the hidden, suppressed side of the persona. The shadow's characteristics are in direct opposition to the persona. Thus, the shadow represents one dark side. This is very much the Masonic black and white that you see all over the place. Even though the shadow may seem to be a negative archetype, one would actually degrade and destroy the ego. The opposite is true. If the shadow is integrated properly, the shadow is not integrated properly, it is suppressed. There can be a negative effects that can affect the individual and those around them. You're listening to Be Told, 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 Told.
This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of D-Train and Delicious. You can support us too at truthmeats.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeats.com. Click on the donate link.
Very confusing. He's got a new one. Obviously, that wonderful D-Train and Veralicious have obviously put some money towards the Truth Meets Dog, as they should. As anyone that's doing a show on here should be paying a good chunk of money monthly to Joel and to help provide an incentive as well for him, because it wouldn't be cheap to run a platform like this. I know he does it because he loves doing it, but he needs to make some money out of this. And anyone out there should be sending money in just a little bit, you know, whatever you can get. To the truthmeats.com. Click on the donut link, as Klaus Schwab once said. So Jungian archetypes, highly recommend you get into these things, because it's not easy information. But it's, you know, is there criticism about it? What's this? Feminist critiques have focused on the aspects of archetypal theory that are seen using hiding reductionistic and providing the stereotyped view of femininity and masculinity. Carl Jung has been accused of metaphysical essentialism. His psychology, and particularly his thoughts on spirit and lack of a scientific basis, making them a mystical and based on assumption rather than empirical investigation. Now, interesting, my son, who's at university, is doing philosophy at the moment. He's done three classes. He loves it. He's soaking in the stuff like a sponge, which I would have if I'd been had the foresight to go to university back in the day, but I'm glad I didn't, because I've self-educated and I've given myself what I think I need. What I think I need. And, you know, I've got to 60 and I'm an individual thinker. Although I have to say, the last 2 months of me doing chats, I was not well. And I had definitely issues with my thyroid, which is in the family, according to my brother. Now, did I go off and swallow high blood pressure medication, because I had high blood pressure quite often? Did I go? No, I found the source of the issue, thyroid. So what I did, just like Uncle Frank, the salt guy, had suggested, always suggests, and I should have known this, But I went and got some good, these are pills, not actual drops, iodine. And I took for 7 days, I guess, one a day. And all of a sudden, everything felt better. And my blood pressure problem disappeared. Iodine was lacking for my diet. Japanese, as Frank said, take 4 times more than the average Australian, 5 times more, and their regular diets. All their sushi and everything is seaweed, raw fish, et cetera, et cetera. And more salt, I would say, particularly the seawater stuff. It gives you more iodine. So I'm telling you, I fixed up my issues using iodine. I'm not 100% because I've got a bit of a cold now, but so has everyone around here because damp and mold's probably sporing, spores of sporing. It's been really damp, though, my goodness gracious me. Not heavy, heavy rain, though. So I was talked on the last shows I've done. I will bring it up. There's been nothing but media fakery and overhype of the cyclone that hit on last Friday in the Gold Coast. And it had some effect in a few areas, but basically very little. The media hype was just through the roof. I discovered, you know, the Daily Telegraph was publishing giant photos of people running, one clutching a dog. And I thought, why were they running from? What are they running from? And it said the cyclone on the heading, running from the cyclone. And straight away they used the photo because one of them was clutching a little dog. And that gave you this. This is going into Jungian archetypes that, you know, straight away you would, he's rescuing the dog. There'd be a feminine or masculine archetype in that, or a savior. And another paper I read straight afterwards had the same photo, said that there were people on the Gold Coast running to avoid the rain. They were getting out into shelter because it was raining. Now, what they shut the schools down where I am, the food went off the shelves. There's no bread, no meat, milk, dairy gone. It's getting back again now. They shut roads down, highways when they didn't need to. It was straight out of COVID, 100%. So the coming climate lockdowns are a real thing. You're going to see them in America. They're trialing it here, obviously. So be aware, we're living in a totally fake, overhype, you know, say nature happens every now and then, a cyclone or a lot of rain or whatever, they are going to make you absolutely terrified, or sorry, the public, not you, I'm talking about the general public, be terrified of just natural weather events. Guaranteed. They did it and trialed it here. I saw Anthony Albanese or Imbanese, the fuckwit we've got as a prime minister here, using the word lockstep and lockdown multiple times on most of his actual broadcasts he was doing. Just wanking away to try and make everyone go, oh, look, he cares about us. Isn't it wonderful? And there are people out there that stupid that believe that. Yes, there are. Not me. I just sit there and just, you should hear me abusing the radio. And as I'm reading the newspaper, I'm screaming abuse at them. I don't care. And there's nothing but parody on Facebook. So many people have done so many funny parody stories about, you know, their backyard. You know, one of the some of the flowers got blown over. And so they've shared a very funny, made YouTubes up, you know, the overreaction of what happened from this supposed end of the world, event, when it was just basically some really heavy winds around the Gold Coast area, blew a fence down a friend of mine's place, blew a balcony off Verilicious and D-Train's place, but nothing compared to a natural disaster like a bushfire or a flood that goes through and, you know, people are drowning and getting killed by various natural things. It can happen. So be told, they've hyped it up. Now, I'm probably going to go soon. This is just one of those brief shows that I do just to catch up to Rick and Rollo. I've got so many great books, though. I have to I picked a book on cult movies, a book on Brigitte Bardot by Simone de Beauvoir. Worth a bit of money, it'd have to be, from 1959. She was so beautiful, that woman. Very extraordinarily beautiful woman. And has aged naturally, so a role model to so many women out there. Be told. So, yeah, I might just sign off. There you go. And what music will we sign off? Because we're living in the edge of reality at the moment. And another thing I will quickly bring up, there are so many, this AI is really dangerous. It's going to be used so that even if you have bang to rights footage of someone extremely famous doing something, they're just going to say, oh, that's AI. That's AI. Nothing happened. Nobody did anything. Nobody got hurt. AI, fake. Guaranteed, this is a really, really dangerous time. And we're living on the edge of reality at the moment because reality is now blurred completely with this artificial intelligence. And the thing Johnny's List shared to myself and I think Rollo the other day of Donald Trump and the guy from Ukraine, Zelensky, you know, Zelensky's offering, you know, oral sex. He's saying he's blowing it all on cocaine. Look, honestly, you cannot tell that that's fake to me. And I've got a great eye for fakery. It looks accurate. And, could they actually be really actually saying those things and just, you know, putting it out so people think AI is actually indefinable from fakery? Reality and fakery have just blended into each other. Could be. They could have done it. But I don't think they did. I think there are technologies out there that allow seamless vocal and synthesis and really clever stuff. So anyway, and we might go out on this Be Told 21 with Edge of Reality by Elvis Presley. What a great song. Is it Edge of Reality? Great song. I think it is Edge of Reality. On that note, fantastic. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back on Saturday night, the Rick and Rollo Show. And possibly appearing on Fakeologist the same night or the next night, guaranteed. So thank you so much. Edge of Reality by Elvis Presley, another man we could talk all about, but we're not going to tonight. So thank you so much, and I'll sign out now. A one, a two, a three. Take it away, Elvis Presley, now.
Thin line, darling. Dark shadows follow me. Here's where life's dream lies disillusioned. The edge of reality. Oh, I can hear strange echo, laughing with mockery. The borderline of doom I'm facing, the edge of reality. I am condemned to the edge of reality. All the
If she's not real, then I am condemned to the edge of reality.